This is Buster Williams inviting you to the Jazz Room with host Joan Watson Jones.
Hello, welcome to the Jazz Room. I'm your host, Joan Watson Jones. Thanks for stopping by. Come in, relax while we enjoy great jazz. Each week we present the music of independent jazz artists, as well as those we've grown to love through the years. And yes, of course, the legends. Today we welcome bassist legend Buster Williams. We met briefly before a set at the Newport Jazz Festival. This show will feature cuts from Buster's 2001 release, Houdini, featuring Jerry Allen on piano and Lenny White on drums. You're listening now to The Sorcerer. Enjoy. Thank you. Welcome to the Jazz Room, Buster Williams.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Thank you so much for taking the time before your set at the Newport Jazz Festival.
My pleasure.
I enjoy being an early bird, too. I really do. So, I found it interesting reading about you because one of the phrases that came up in your bio was that you came from a two-bass family.
Well, it was a one-bass family until my father started teaching me. My father was a bass player, and at the age of 13 or 14, he started teaching me the bass. And he also played drums and piano. And when I got good enough, he would take me on jobs with him where he would play drums and I would play bass. And it was quite an experience.
Wow.
So really enjoyable.
Yeah, that's really interesting. You met a lot of interesting musicians
right.
through the years that right. way. And tell me about stringing the bass differently.
Well, see, my father was a fan of Slam Stewart. Slam Stewart was a great bassist. He had a unique style of playing with the bow and singing what he was playing at the same time. And I don't know how he came up with this idea, but he decided to tune his bass with the high string C and low string A. So C, G, D, and A. They eliminated the E string. So when my father, he had two basses, and he had those basses tuned up the same way as Slam Stewart. But when he decided to teach me, he restrung one of the basses to the traditional stringing G, D, A, and E. So that's how
you play it now.
An interesting thing is when we had the two bass quartet with Ron Carter, Ron was playing piccolo bass. And it was tuned C, G, D, and A against my bass, G, D, A, and E. And during that time, Luthier made me a piccolo bass of my own. So I now have a piccolo bass tuned C, G, D, and A. Sort of like full circle, right back to my father.
That's interesting. That's fun because mm-hmm. through the years, you always come across people and they're, we have stuff in common one way or the other.
Sure.
Listen now to Bella Doggia, Diva. Thank you. You're in the Jazz Room. I'm your host, Joan Watson Jones. We continue with our interview with bassist Buster Williams. Now, you mentioned Ron Carter, but you've met so many other great musicians. Rather than, you know, try and go through something, what stands out? What's your great memories of anybody you've performed with?
I have so many great memories. With Sir Vaughan, I really learned the necessity and the value of playing in tune. If you played a note out of tune, she heard it. It never went by her. So, you know, and then, of course, my stint with Miles Davis was incredible. And then the band that we had with Herbie Hancock, which eventually became known as Mwandishi. And that band was about, we had that band for about 5 years. And it was sort of like a new invention every night. So that really stands out.
Yes. Mm. And in jazz, every time you play with someone you haven't played with before, you learn something new.
I learn something new from every time I'm on the bandstand. My father told me, he said that the greatest gift is to be able to have your instrument in your hand night after night. And whatever you do, do it better than you did last night.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I get that. Yeah. I get that. Now, you have done work on movie soundtracks mm-hmm. and so on. Tell me a little bit about maybe what movies and so on, so people may, you know, have something to listen.
Well, we did the music for the movie called The Spook Who Sat by the Door. I did a movie also that starred Gregory Peck. What was the name? They Shoot Horses, Don't They, or something like that.
Oh, yeah, I remember that movie.
And just a few other movies. When Ray Brown left Oscar Peterson and moved to Los Angeles, I was living in Los Angeles at that time because I had moved to Los Angeles because I was playing with Nancy Wilson. And so I became Ray Brown's number one sub. You know, he had so many record dates and movie calls. So he would call me, and from that, I did a lot of movie calls and a lot of in studio work also in L.A.
Okay, that sounds good. Mm. Now, this one is a bit personal for me. Mm. You worked with Dakota Staton.
Mm. Yeah, that was, I think that's when I was just out of high school.
Wow.
Or I was still in high school. And we had a trio, piano player and a drummer from Wilmington, New Jersey. I'm from Wilmington, Delaware. And, of course, I was living in Camden, where I was born. And Dakota heard the trio and hired us on the spot.
Yeah.
So we became her trio. And so I guess for about a year and a half, I was with Dakota Staton.
That's great, and I said this was personal for me. I was a kid in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Dakota Staton lived next door to us.
Wow.
She lived next door to us, and my mother had been in show business. She mm-hmm. said, Joan, go over and talk to Miss Staton. Show people are good people.
Are good people?
Yes, she always said.
Oh, that's great.
Yes, so, and I just stayed friends with her through the years, mm. just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I learned a lot about jazz singing from
did.
Her.
Yeah.
Jazz singing to her. And speaking of working with singers, it's a personal thing for me because I'm one too, and I love working with the bass. Do you have a different... I noticed you said with Sarah Vaughan,
you better be on pitch.
What else would you would do with a singer?
I think it's so valuable to have that experience working with singers because, singers require a certain sensitivity and, and quite frankly, all good singers love good bass players.
Right.
I have to say that.
Right.
I do have to say that.
Sarah used to tell me she hears the bass first. Nancy Wilson said the same thing. Betty Carter said the same thing. And so you develop that, or I did, I developed that sensitivity. And also, gave me an insight into the importance of the lyric. And, every musician should learn the lyrics to a song that he or she is going to play.
I have interviewed other musicians here at Newport, and they have said the same thing.
Yeah.
And I think the pianist that I think of who was very lyrical and knew the lyrics to the song was Bill Evans.
Well, before him, there was Jimmy Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And, Malachi, John Malachi out of D.C. Many good piano players. Jimmy Rolls.
Yeah.
All the great singers love Jimmy Rolls.
Oh, I can understand that. Now, you've been at this a long time. Well, what are you looking forward to?
To continue.
Amen.
Yeah, to continue.
Amen.
And get better and better.
And thank you very much, Buster Williams.
Thank you, Joan.
For joining us in the Jazz Room.
I appreciate it.
Have a great set.
Thank you.
You're listening now to Houdini Part 1, title tune of Buster's 2000 release. Learn more about Buster at www.busterwilliams.com. We've come to the end of another show. Thank you for spending time here with us in the Jazz Room. You may visit my website, joanwatsonjones.com/The Jazz Room, where you'll be able to listen to more interviews and see photos of many of the artists interviewed in the past. Until next time, you've been in the Jazz Room. I'm your host, Joan Watson Jones.